Welcome, everyone, and thanks for being with me this next hour. You are listening to Everyday Astrology with C.A. Brooks on Transcendental Tuesdays here on 1-2 Radio, where we are changing the way we listen to the world. At least, hopefully, that's my intention. I keep trying. You know, that's what we need to do is, you know, really work on those perceptions. This is February 20th, 2024. And I don't have any announcements really around work other than I do want to confess I've been having some major problems with my computer. And I'm not one of these people that changes that kind of stuff very often. It's like once I've got a setup that I really like, which this computer is, I don't know, probably 10 to 15 years old. I don't know. And when I got it, you know, it's the whole desktop thing and I've got all my screens and everything's just perfect. But when it finally just starts saying, hey, CA, it's time for an update, I am so resistant to that because, you know, I know what it takes to kind of just make all those conversions, or at least that's what it feels like. But finally, I gave into it. I got a new computer. It's not set up yet. I am going to try to do that this afternoon. I do have some help, but I tell you that partially because I haven't been online quite as much because I've been dealing, like I said, with some of these tricky issues, and I need to make sure I can get all my astrology software back up exactly where it needs to be and that I can be dependable with you. I can really be there for you when I say I'm going to be. So wish me luck if you've got... If you have energy, you know, if you know expertise in computers, just send all that good energy to me this week as I'm trying to make that conversion because that's what's going on. But I figure with all this Aquarius energy, it's probably a good time to do it. So what we're going to do on the show today is we are going to talk about what's going on at the cosmic dance. You know, basically the astrology, what's going on out there and what are some of the things we can be thinking about, talking about, or observing in our lives. Looking at it from the perspective of the cosmos being a reflection of that. So two of the things that are going on this week, and I'll mention them at the top, and then you know me, I'm going to circle back and go someplace else. But Mercury, the planet of thinking and communication, is going to change signs. It's going to leave Aquarius and go into Pisces late Thursday night. Now, you know, Mercury does change signs about every 3 weeks, so this is kind of a typical thing. But it is important, I think, to kind of be aware of it, sort of like with the moon, when you pay attention to where that moon is. I know when on Kat's show today, she was talking about the Cancer moon. And oftentimes, too, yeah, you just get up and you go, okay, what is this feeling? Well, we do better sometimes with certain energy, with the moon. It's emotional expression. But we certainly, you know, feel that with Mercury as well. When Mercury goes into Pisces, it goes from the intellectual, kind of very rational part of Aquarius, which just, you know, it's one of the mental signs. It's very rational. In fact, it's kind of the computer thing, right? Well, Mercury in Pisces is sensitive. It's intuition. It's impressions. And so we start communicating on a whole other level. Or maybe we just feel things differently. Or we find that our communications maybe start getting a little mixed up because we're sensing something and maybe we're talking around it or we're not finding the right words. We'll talk a little bit more about that, like I said, towards the end of the show. But just know that Mercury is going to move this week. It's going to enter Pisces. We also have a full moon this week at 5 Virgo. And that's going to be very early Saturday morning, 4:30, in fact, that's Pacific time. But that also means we're going to have gorgeous full moons. In fact, even last night, I was outside and I was thinking it looked really, really light, but we've been having some clouds here. In fact, I was joking with Kat this morning. I said, hello from Seattle, because it's raining here again in Nevada. And that's unusual. You know, it's just unusual, and it's like, what's going on here? But anyway, we had a lot of cloud cover. But despite that, the sky was really, really light. So I love watching the full moons. I mean, that's just such a fun time for me. So I would encourage you, make sure, you know, Thursday, Friday, Saturday night, you get out there if you can and see that full moon. And remember, too, and here again, depending on how much time we have, we'll talk about this at the end of the show, but full moons are times of culmination. It's like when things all come together. So it's a time of revelation. And even though it's the moonlight instead of the sunlight, And so there are still some shadows. There are still some things that are hidden. This isn't the same as being in the sun. Well, it's still a time when revelations come to us, especially through the heart. You know, through that intuition, through those other ways of thinking, which really matches pretty well with Mercury moving into Pisces on Thursday. So, you know, we're definitely, the cosmos is moving into that kind of Piscean energy. However, we're gonna have Aquarius for a long time. Remember, Pluto is in Aquarius. So we are not going away from that. And that's kind of where I want to start. Because each week, I've told you, you know, every week at the beginning of the week, I write an article for Mark's Power Peak. So I'm looking at what is all the energy of the upcoming week? What are the planets doing? And I do a card spread. I use oracle cards as well as tarot, but mostly tarot. And usually the spread has anywhere, it usually has about a dozen cards in it, depending on how many different decks I use. But one of the things I look for is, what is the theme of the week? You know, do I see certain cards coming up, which often happens? Like I'll pull the same tarot card from three or four different decks. Now, that to me, that's a trend, and it's kind of hitting me over the head going, don't miss this one. Well, some of the things that I've been noticing really ever since the beginning of the year is very Aquarian themes, and this theme of tribe, belonging, who's my soul group, where do I belong, you know, where do I fit, but also recognizing that that is such a difficult concept in terms of our lives and how we act it out. You know, how does that really work? You know, sometimes we belong and then all of a sudden we don't feel like we belong at all. Or how do we work all those things out? But as I look at this week and moving forward, I see that that is a theme. So I want you to think about that. That's one of the themes of this week, is belonging. And what does that mean? And as I said, I think that's a very Aquarian theme. Now, some people could look at that and go, well, isn't that Cancer? You know, that nurturing home and family and tribe. Yep, it is. And we do have a Cancer moon, and that may be why that theme came up so strongly. But it's also about, what is family? What is tribe? Is it blood relatives? Is it those friends? Is it the people that you attract into your life? So we are going to have this theme going on, I think, for a long time. And when I say a long time, it's because I really do associate it a lot with Pluto in Aquarius. And remember that outside of Pluto moving into a retrograde in the fall for a short while, we've got Pluto in Aquarius until January of 2044. So this is a long-term energy. And it's not as if every time you tune into the show, we're going to be talking about it. But I guess, you know, right now it's still very much on my mind, and what that's going to mean and what that's going to look like. Because Pluto's a transformer. So how are we going to use that Aquarian energy to transform? And I do believe very much so. When you think about themes of different signs, they all have a theme. And there might, it might be multiple, but with Aquarius, it's definitely about belonging. And what does that mean? Because I want to be an individual. I want to have personal expression. But how do I belong to a group? Who is my group? What do I expect from my group? You know, what kinds of support? What kinds of things? You know, a lot of times we have rules for people. If we're in a personal relationship, well, if you were my friend, you were going to do this. So what are those rules that we make up for ourselves, those personal things? Now, of course, the other thing about the last week or so is that we've had all these planets in Aquarius. The sun was in Aquarius until just this past Sunday. Venus and Mars are still in Aquarius. We're going to talk about them a little bit today. And Mercury is in Aquarius until Thursday night. So see, we've had this huge stellium, what we call it in astrology, this grouping of planets in Aquarius. So no wonder that theme just keeps coming up every week for me. Now, it'll switch. It'll start going in some other directions. But that's why we're talking about belonging today. And so once again, kind of touching back on Aquarius and the mythology of Prometheus. You know, I think as many as we can get different examples and different stories, maybe, you know, one of them will really appeal to you, or it'll be something that you go, okay, that I get, and I want to remember that one. That's what we'll do. So Prometheus is one of the mythological characters that we associate with Aquarius. And remember, he was the god that stole fire from the gods. So here again, when you look at some of this mythology, you'll see a lot of different things going on. But one of the themes is certainly that this guy was brilliant, right? He is teaching mankind sciences and math and all some of those really hard, very rational kinds of things, you know, those very scientific concepts about living on planet Earth. And along, you know, but he says, you know what? I don't think they're going to evolve very much further if we don't teach them about fire. And indeed, you know, when mankind started using fire intentionally, that was a real cultural shift for us. If you look at it historically, now we're not talking mythology, we're talking history. So Prometheus supposedly, you know, says, I'm going to give them fire. And Zeus said, no. The rest of the gods go, no, no, no. We're not going there. Let them just keep struggling or whatever it is. But Prometheus was a very principled person. Let's put it that way. And he said, you know, I can't be true to myself. I can't be true to my purpose, to my principles, if I don't continue on this path as a teacher and as a mentor and stealing this fire. So he literally steals the fire and gives it to mankind. But the punishment is his tribe basically alienates him. They push him out. They don't want him to be a part of them anymore. And he is punished. So see, that is the Aquarian theme, is I want to belong, but I want the freedom to be an individual. I want the ability to go according to my principles. And when I feel really, really committed to something, then I may have to go against the tribe. Or maybe I need to find another tribe. So we're going to find those things continually coming up as we talk about Aquarius. And keep in mind that, astrologically speaking, it's ruled by the planet Uranus, which I love when we talk about Uranus. We talk about it as being the revolutionary and the rebel. But my favorite name for it is the Great Awakener, because it wakes us up to some of the self-sabotage, to some of the limitations, to some of the restrictions, to some of the beliefs that we have about ourselves or the world that really keep us kind of locked into a category, keep us locked up. And see, Prometheus, he broke out of that. And he just said, you know what? This is more important to me. And so in many ways, now, this also depends on how much Aquarius you have in your chart or how it manifests, but we all have this. Remember that. You can sit there and say, well, I'm not an Aquarian and I don't relate to this. Well, somewhere in your chart, at some point when you were born, Aquarius, the constellation, was sitting in a part of the sky. So it is represented in your natal chart. And when planets go through it, it kind of wakes some of that stuff up for you. So, you know, and here again, it's some of the words that we use for either Uranus or for Aquarius is original. Being innovative and progressive and futuristic. And of course, being a social reformer and being humanitarian and philanthropic and altruistic. It's the sign of friendship. It's the sign of being independent, being a freedom lover, being eccentric and experimental, being inventive. But at the bottom line, it's always, what is the price of being different? What are we willing to do to be different? And we want to be loved. I mean, think about it. We want to be the golden child. We want to be the one that everybody loves, or at least that somebody loves, or authority loves, or whatever. But then we want to become our own authority. You know, there's only a short time period in which we're willing to let somebody else call all the shots. Right? But we're dancing with that. Just remember, it's a dance. We're always dancing with that kind of energy. But I want to tell you a story that I don't know if I've ever told you this before. I certainly have told certain people. But to me, it's just so representative of Aquarius. And by the way, I do have an Aquarian moon. And I also have an Aquarian south node. So, you know, I guess there are north node rather. Sorry about that. It's a north node. So, you know, Aquarius is a strong theme in my chart, which, by the way, you look at your chart. Where is your north node? That says something about your mission. Why are you here? You know, what did your soul have in mind when you came? What are some of the lessons that you're learning? So many of you know I was in medical research for many years, about 30. And I was part of a supervisory team. And really, I mean, the Aquarian part of me, I felt like sometimes I was on the same page, but a lot of times I was not. I was always kind of the outlier. But fortunately, my boss liked me. We were both kind of outliers together. So that really worked. And so even though sometimes I wasn't on the same page with the rest of the team, I was always on the same page with him. Well, anyway, we would have these huge, you know, supervisory meetings, and there were five of us involved. And sometimes they would even be all day things. You know, we're doing planning for the next year for a certain grant that we're working on, that sort of thing. But anyway, we're having this meeting, and somebody had mentioned that they were unhappy because I wasn't following the rules with one particular thing that we were doing. Now, and I want you to know, I wasn't breaking like scientific rules. I was breaking, you know, an administrative thing. We were supposed to like get all these approvals for this, that, and the other thing before blah, blah, blah. Well, anyway, and so in my mind, nobody was being hurt other than people's feelings, right? So I wasn't abiding by the rules. And so we're having this meeting, and one of my colleagues just came right out, and he was being really adamant, and he demanded that I start following the rules. And like I said, what it was is, you will not write this such and such, or you will not turn this in, you know, you will not seek approval for this until you get all of our approval. And so I said, you know, and he just demanded, and he said, will you promise that you'll do that? And I said, no, I can't. And he got furious. Now, by the way, the reason I said I couldn't is because, you know, it's one of those things. It's like, I knew I was going to get down to a deadline sometime. I'd have 10 minutes to literally meet a deadline. And was I really going to run around and get all their approval? You know, things happen, right? I mean, things happen. So I just said, no, I don't think I can promise. I mean, I can say I'll try, but no, I'm not going to promise. Well, he got livid. And when I say livid, I'm talking about a grown man, a professional man, and he stands up at the table and starts yelling at me. And he says, you don't have a right. You can't do this. You cannot, you do not have a choice. You have to abide by the rules. And quite honestly, I had to really, really help myself, because I almost wanted to burst out laughing, because I was like, oh my God, what is happening here? But he said, you have no choice. And so I just calmly said, actually, I have a choice. The choice is, if I break the rule, then I have to be willing to take responsibility for my actions and to take the punishment. But I always have a choice. Well, he didn't like that either. But one of the things, and this is where I came up, and this is why I wanted to laugh. I said, guys, we sat at this very table 2 years ago, and we made that rule. We made the rule. Those were not handed down, you know, to Moses from God or something. We made the rule. And I said, so the very fact that we're having a hard time, or I'm having a hard time abiding by it, maybe we need to start talking about the application. Maybe we need to start talking about changing the rule, because maybe it's not working for us. And that's what was funny to me, is that it's like we had this short-term memory loss, that we made the rules. Nobody else made them. We made that rule, and now we're sitting here arguing about it. So I said, I'd like to just open up the discussion. Maybe we need to do things a little bit differently, because maybe the rule isn't working for us. But I thought, so that has become like a pivotal kind of learning lesson to me, that how often do we forget that we made up the rules? And so when you really think about it, who said you can't wear white after Labor Day? Who said, you know, all these things that we want to abide by? Maybe we can stand back a little bit and just laugh and go, we made up the rules. You know, the world's not going to fall apart because we changed the rules. Now, obviously, it depends on what it is. Like I said, I think in this situation, nobody was really, this was not a life and death thing. It was not sacrificing the science of what we were doing. It was an administrative role. But, you know, I want you to think about that when it comes to Aquarius. You know, what are the rules in your life that either you're getting really upset about, somebody else is getting really upset about, and, you know, who made up those rules? Who decided that's the way it needed to be? And maybe it's time to discuss them. So just think about it. Which brings me to one of this week's highlights that I want to make sure we talked about, which is the fact that Venus and Mars, both in Aquarius, are going to come together. They're going to be in a conjunction this week. That means they're going to be sharing the same space. They're both going to be, and not really the same space, we're talking astrology, but it's 6 degrees of Aquarius. Now, this is special because I know a lot of people actually look forward to something like this because it's like, ooh, the two love planets coming together. Now, on average, they come together, you know, once a year. It really depends on their retrograde patterns. But in general, yeah, when they come together, you know, it's kind of like, hey, maybe schedule a date, or this could be the beginning of something. This is astrologically special, you know, it's a cool thing. So people may want to take advantage of it when this happens, and it's going to happen on Wednesday evening. So, but it's in Aquarius. And when it's in Aquarius, think about all the things I just told you. This isn't Libra, the sign of, you know, partnership. This is the sign of being an independent, you know, making your own rules. So here comes Venus and Mars getting together. By the way, when I look at compatibility, which you can imagine I do a lot, because a lot of people, hey, I met this guy, I met this woman, I met this person, and tell me, are we compatible? Well, now, you know, I'm not pretending that I'm like every other astrologer, but I'm not looking at the sun signs. Now, I'm not saying I never do, but I'll tell you what I look at. I look at Venus, Mars, the Moon, and Saturn, if I'm really looking for compatibility. Now, I'm also going to check out some of the other things going on. And if those people have connections in their chart, especially with North and South nodes, ooh, that tells me a lot. But Venus is truly one of the planets that has to do with these personal relationships because it says, what do you value? What do you think love looks like? What are you attracted to? So you even look at those two Venuses in two people's charts, it's going to tell you a lot about, you know, how's this relationship going to unfold? You know, what do they think is attractive? Mars, what motivates them? What do they think is sexy? What does passion look like? How do they channel that passion? So I'm looking for some really interesting interplay between Venus and Mars in somebody's chart. I'm also looking at the Moon because that is so incredibly personal. You know, how do I express my feelings? And when those moons don't get along, that can really sabotage a relationship. And I'm not just looking for elements. You know, you go, oh, well, Pisces doesn't get along with Aquarius or something like that. It's a little deeper than that. But I'm looking to see, is this person really going to feel with me? Are they going to understand me on a you know, an emotional level? And I look at Saturn because to me, Saturn is what you will commit to and how you'll honor your commitment. So see, these are very important, what I call relationship planets. So Venus and Mars coming together, it's very cool. But like I said, that twist is that it's coming together in Aquarius. And so this is the sign of friendship. And it's a very positive omen. But it's also, how are these, you know, if a relationship literally starts on Wednesday, let's say you do have a blind date, or let's say you're going out with somebody and you're trying to, you're kind of trying to hook up with somebody again, you know, somebody from your past, or maybe you're trying to push a relationship forward. It's more likely that you're going to be talking about how to maintain your individuality, how to not step on each other's toes, than you are about just gazing into each other's eyes. Now, maybe I'm wrong, but I think that's the kind of thing that's going to happen. So if you're, you know, if you're planning that hot date, or if you're looking at Venus and Mars coming together and going, ooh, you know, sexy time, it is. But if you end up in these very Aquarian places of like, hey, I had a really deep conversation with this person, you know, there was an intellectual coming together of the minds, that's a very Aquarian thing. So just monitor, or rather set your expectations accordingly, because it can be really fun. I mean, you could be very provoked and stimulated, but, you know, I mean, maybe you'd go to a lecture, you go to a speech, you go to something, and, you know, and you're comrade in arms, so to speak. There's lots of cool things where you're going to feel that sense of belonging, or maybe I don't belong to this person. But just remember that that's what's going on. And like I said, I'm smiling because I think it's interesting how all the different layers of astrology come together. And I want to talk about a couple other things going on that day, which here again, as you pull the threads, as you look at it, it's very interesting. Because the moon is going to be, and remember it's another very important personal planet, the moon is going to be in Leo that day. Now, Leo is interested in establishing personal identity for the purpose of being elevated. They want to be on display. They want to be special, right? They want to be adored. They want authentic self-expression. Now, if you think about it, some of those things sound very Aquarian, don't they? And in many ways they are, because the signs that are opposite each other often have a lot of the same attributes. They're very similar, but the way they express it comes out differently. So with Leo, they want to be that aristocrat. It's noble, it's regal. They want to be on the stage. They want to be special. And I think Aquarius wants to be special too, but they want to be special by being different. So, you know, in some ways you might even look at it and go, hey, this is all semantics. Now, it's not all semantics, but just remember that Aquarius and Leo thing, they're very, very similar. In fact, Mark Hessen is the one who says this. And at first when he said it, I thought, what is he talking about? Because you know how we often think Leo is the one with the big ego. There they are, marching around. They're on the stage. They're the leader. They're the one, you know, they're the king. They're the one we're all looking up to. So they must have a big ego. Well, ironically enough, if you've been listening to me and Mark and other astrologers, you probably realize oftentimes Leo doesn't have a big ego. In fact, Leo is building an ego. They're the ones who probably kind of, you know, they came from a childhood and here again, people with a lot of Leo energy, you know, they may have come from a childhood where they don't feel very identified, or they feel like they do have to build their own ego. And what do we find often when somebody's a bully, when somebody's acting very egotistical? It's because they're really insecure. It's not because they think they're so great. It's because they're afraid they're not. And so they're putting on a performance. And so what Mark says, and this is what I was telling you, he says, and the first time I was like, what? He goes, it's Aquarians with the big ego. And he goes, it's the opposite sign. You know, the ones who are preaching brotherhood and we're all in this together and we're shoulder to shoulder, they're the ones you have to watch out for. They're the ones with the big ego. Now, I'm laughing because I kind of do get it, you know, but they're very similar. I think both of those two signs, Aquarius and Leo, they both want to be special. But, you know, they want to be special for different reasons. I think Leo wants to be an influencer. Leo wants the approval. Leo wants you to clap for them. They want to be recognized. Whereas Aquarius, that's okay, but there again with Prometheus. You know, they're saying, you know what? What I want is my own approval. What I really want is I want to be able to follow my passion. I want to be able to follow, you know, whatever this individual thing is for me. I want to make my own rules, and I want you to love that too. But if you don't, I'm on my way. I'm willing to be an independent contractor, so to speak. So they want slightly different things. So in this day, when we've got Venus and Mars coming together, we also have this moon that's sitting in Leo in complete opposition. So once again, it's, you know, what I was kind of thinking, and also the fact that both Venus and Mars are also squaring Jupiter that day, or they're moving towards perfect squares. And it's not perfect for another day or two, but, you know, see, this is a Rubik's Cube. You know, that's what this is. This is a whole collection of relationships, and it can come out many, many different ways. But, you know, another thing I was thinking about, when I say Aquarius, they just want to be different. I remember some people I knew one time, and they had gotten a new puppy. And when I asked them what they were going to name it, they hadn't named it yet, and they'd had it for, I think, a few weeks. And I said, well, what are you going to name it, and why haven't you named it? And they said, because we're trying to come up with a name that nobody ever, ever has used for a dog. And I was like, okay. And I don't remember their charts. I mean, I truly don't. But I remember thinking that was the primary thing. And to me, I will admit, I'm very different because I'm an animal communicator, and with a lot of dogs, I've literally just, you know, asked them, what is your name? And some of them have very boldly just told me exactly what their name was. You know, I mean, I could tell you some incredible stories. But the point was, you know, this couple was intent on having a dog with a name that nobody ever, ever, ever had used. Now, how they could guarantee that across the world, I don't know. But they did end up naming the dog the name of a very, a city in another country that was very unknown. Let's put it that way. You know, if I mentioned it, you probably would never have heard of it. And when they heard the name of that city, they said, that's the name for the dog. Nobody's ever going to know this word. Now, like I said, but I kind of thought it was funny. I thought, what's driving that, that the dog has to have a name that nobody has ever heard of? You know, I don't know. We could probably dissect that for hours, right? And speaking of which, I'm kind of looking at the chat room. Thank you for you who have come over and joined us in our chat room over on Facebook. Hi, Renee. Thank you for being here. And Leslie and Lynn and Pamela, it's good to see you. And Alishea and James. James, thank you so much for being here. And, you know, anybody else, if you want to come over and make a comment in the chat room, I do look at that from time to time. And I so appreciate it because it just, you know, it's just fun. So thank you so much for being there. And if you have any questions, you can also put them there. And Alishea is saying, morning CA, swimming in Pisces water. Yep, absolutely. Me too. And yeah, just all this rain, all this water, it's amazing. But yeah, we are moving into the Pisces season. And I'm not going to say we're not there yet, but we're kind of, you know, going back and forth between the Aquarius and the Pisces, which, by the way, I'll throw this out too. I think both of those signs are very idealistic, but they're idealistic in different ways. You know, once again, the Pisces is the spiritual component, the non-physical component, the sensitivity, you know, that those threads that connect us that cannot be touched or seen or heard. Just that knowing, that psychic, that intuition, or like, you know, I tend to see it as spiritual, the imagination, that, you know, cosmic soup, whereas Aquarius is very mental. We're talking about our ideas, and we're very idealistic, but we're talking about ideas and communication. So I think we kind of have talked about this Venus conjunction with Mars, but I will underscore a little bit that it is also going to be squaring Jupiter, which is sitting in Taurus. Now remember, Jupiter is that planet of expansion. And by the way, when there's a square, when you hear square in astrology, think adjustment or change. Because when planets are squaring each other by sign, what happens is it's like cars at a four-way stop. And so it's not that they both don't get to go, but they don't get to go at the same time. So in other words, some things you really can't blend together. You know, the oil and water kind of thing. You really can't blend them together, but they can each have their expression. But when there's a square, you're going to see oftentimes a little bit of conflict because it's going to be that choice. Who goes first? What do you say? What do I say? So when there's a square, yeah, there's a little conflict. There's a little tension depending on the planets involved. But when I see that also, so here's Venus and Mars kind of trying to come together in Aquarius, and now they're squaring Jupiter. And Jupiter in Taurus is often, you know, it is about family. It's about traditions, the past, and legacies. It's saying, I expand myself by being connected to the past, being connected to traditions and stable ways of doing things. And so here's Aquarius going, what are you talking about? It's all about the future. And so just recognize that there's that little tension going on saying, you know what, maybe we just can't throw everything away in order to go to the future. But we can also, I think, the word that kind of kept coming to me in several things this week is autopilot. Like we find ourselves just going on autopilot, and maybe it's just because so much is going on and we just can't think about it anymore. But if you find that that's true, that you're just going, okay, I just can't deal, I'm overwhelmed, take a time out and just recognize you don't have to figure it all out this week. You don't have to figure it all out today. you know? And, you know, that's what I was feeling also, actually, with Mercury in Pisces. You know, I want to tell you, it's a time when we're really being imaginative and creative and coming up with all these ideas. I think there's really this, you know, it's this daydreaming energy. But it may or may not be something that we see the manifestation while Mercury's in Pisces. And that's okay. We plant seeds, and oftentimes, most of the time, we have to be incredibly patient to allow those things to develop and to evolve. So this is a time, as we move more and more into Pisces, that we may feel like we're daydreaming. We just may feel like we're going with the flow. And for some of us, that'll be difficult because we're going, no, I want to see results. I want to see results. Well, while Mercury is in Pisces, which is just, you know, it's a short transit, like I said, just through March 9th or something like that. You know what? Just, it's okay to daydream and it's okay to plant the seeds without seeing all the results. It doesn't mean nothing's happening. But just, you know, if you find yourself just getting into some habits, you know, just, you know, I think about the experiments that Pavlov did with the dogs. You know, somebody says this and I have a response. This happens and I have a response. If we find ourselves just going on autopilot, we're not really thinking about anything. There again, just kind of take a little bit of a timeout, okay? And remember too that Taurus is a sign, that's where Jupiter is, and Uranus, by the way, Uranus rules Aquarius. Taurus is a sign that is straightforward. Just tell it to me right straight. Don't give me all the underpinnings. Don't give me all the metaphysical, you know, hoopla. Just tell it to me. And it's very simple. And so sometimes, you know, that's it. Jupiter in Taurus just says, just be simple. Do the obvious things. And, you know, I think about that too. Sometimes when we are feeling overwhelmed and somebody says, what can I do for you? What can I do for you? You know, sometimes it's the simple things. Here, have something to eat. Make sure you're drinking water. Here, let me take the baby for you so that you can take a nap. You know, the simple things in life. Just take care of those. Don't worry about all the, am I going to be able to figure out all the psychological stuff going on in the background? Maybe we can't. Just be simple. You know, like I said, just sit down, have something to eat, or help somebody else do that. Like I said, the example, taking the baby. You know, maybe you take the dog for a walk. Maybe, you know, maybe you bring him a pizza. Who knows? Sometimes it's just the simple things. Just take care of the obvious instead of trying to take care of all the stuff underneath. Now, there's a time and place for that. It's very Scorpio. And there is a time and place for that. So I'm not saying that it's not. But if you find yourself kind of feeling torn between all this Aquarius and this, you know, energy, you know, the moon sitting in, you know, Leo in opposition, or the, you know, the Taurus energy squaring the Aquarius, well, then just make it simple. Try to go back to the basics. Okay? All right. And remember, too, I think awareness is everything. There again, with a full moon that we're coming up on, awareness is everything, because that's the gift of many of these things, is recognizing that where we have choices, and also that we're not judging. Just to look at something doesn't mean that we need to judge it. We just look at it. And once we're more aware, then we can also say, you know, this kind of leads to that, and I don't like that result, so I'm going to change it. But how do we ever change it if we don't look at it? You know, if we don't have that awareness. And, you know, I had mentioned before, you know, what is the price that we pay? Sometimes we're sabotaging ourselves. So what is the price that we pay, you know, for trying to either blend in, for being a part of that group, or for just not even listening to ourselves, you know, not listening to that inner voice. But remembering that belonging is really a core human need and desire. There's almost nobody in the world that doesn't want that on some level. We all want it. But I think it's worth kind of defining what it means. Because, you know, sometimes it's like, okay, so you get all the invitations and you go to all the parties or you go to all the dinners, but you're just sitting there totally alone. Is that what you want? Is that belonging? Is it all the outside stuff? What does it really mean to belong? And what is it that really feeds your soul? And, You know, astrology, if nothing else, teaches us that we're all different. We have different needs. What's going to make me happy, what's going to make me feel fulfilled, what's going to really spark something in me may be very different than what it does for you. So, you know, just knowing ourselves and being a little bit more aware of that is going to really help. So now let's move into Mercury leaving Aquarius and moving into that sensitive water sign of Pisces. That's going to happen on Thursday night, which is February 22nd. And it does last through March 9th. Because, boy, that Mercury, it just scoots fast, doesn't it? Until it goes into a retrograde. It's not doing that until April. So, yes, we are in a retrograde-free zone until April. We do not have any planets moving retrograde at this point. But once Mercury, and remember, it's the messenger. It's connecting the dots. It's the way we think. It's the way we communicate. But now it's going into the last sign of the zodiac, into diving into the ocean. And so some of the things that can happen is we can become more aware, the recognition of psychic abilities. And sometimes, you know, when I'm writing or thinking about it, I go, yeah, it increases. You know, it's not that it increases. We just recognize it. It becomes more obvious to us. Maybe we do become aware of a psychic ability, or how a gut hunch really did come true, or how intuition works in our lives, because it works very different. You know, I hear some people, like Kat often talks about hearing things either in her left ear or her right ear, and she distinguishes, you know, what it means by if it's left or right. Now, some other people may go, what is she talking about? You know, or do I have to wait until I hear something in my left ear or my right ear? You know, it's like it's different for different people. And, you know, but listening to a lot of people, and if you listen to 1-2 Radio and you talk to some of the advisors or you read Mark's Power Bee, you're going to recognize that kind of psychic energy, that kind of intuitive energy that we all have. It comes in different ways. Like for me personally, sometimes I literally do hear the words. I literally hear the words in my head. You know, it's my voice, but all of a sudden I'll just hear the words. But oftentimes it's images, it's pictures. I see the picture of something. And then, I just kind of look at it and go, okay, exactly what does this mean? You know, and oftentimes I just know right away what it means. But, you know, for other people, they go, you see what? What are you talking about? You see pictures in your head? Maybe you better go to an eye doctor or something like that. Or it's a smell. That's the other thing that is amazing to me, is that a lot of times with spiritual things or with, you know, entities or whatever you want to call it, I smell them. You know, I don't see them. I don't hear them. I smell them. I mean, it's kind of a really freaky thing, or at least it was when it first started happening. But, you know, when Mercury, this thinking communication planet, is in Pisces, we recognize, we become much more aware of those psychic abilities or intuition and how it works in our lives. And that's it. Knowing how it works in your life is important. So it's a nice time to just play with it. And when you think about people that were born with Mercury in Pisces, that includes Edgar Cayce. You know, and many of us know who he was and what he wrote. Abraham Lincoln was born with Mercury in Pisces. Thomas Jefferson was too. Ron Howard, the actor and director, and Maya Angelou. Now, and of course, a whole lot of other people. And I would always remind you too, even though I mention people and I give you quotes, and I'll give you a couple of today, you know, it's not that a person is defined by one single planet in their chart. But oftentimes when I pull people out, it's because we do know them for something that would be associated with that particular energy, like Edgar Cayce for sure. But the other thing about that Mercury in Pisces is the idea of oneness, or the idea of putting, you know, of bringing people together, peacefulness maybe, or specifically being idealistic. You know, that's the thing. Sometimes, you know, when, you know, give peace a chance kind of thing, you know, the chant, you know, of the John Lennon song. And when you just feel it or you see it, but, you know, be careful. People are not defined by one particular energy. And in some ways, I could tell you other people that have it, and you go, well, I don't see Pisces in Mercury, or Mercury in Pisces at all. But like Yoko Ono was born with that. So was Rachel Maddow. Now, I bring her up as an interesting example. And if you don't know who she is, she basically is a newscaster. But why I find her Mercury in Pisces interesting is that oftentimes, as she does her newscast, she tells a story. She doesn't just get on and go, okay, this happened today. Oftentimes, it's more of an expose. She'll talk about the same thing for 15 minutes, building pieces of the story together, bringing in the history of it. She does podcasts, and I think very much I would consider her a storyteller. And I think that's very Piscean. Simone Biles, also the gymnast, was born with Mercury in Pisces. But what's interesting is she has the Sun, Venus, and South Node, and they're all literally right there together. South Node is a little bit farther away, but the Sun, Mercury, and Venus are all conjunct in Pisces. And they're opposed by Mars in Virgo. Now, here again, we could probably do a whole show on her. But when I saw that going on, I thought it was interesting because, you know, she has publicly sort of, you know, come out with, I don't know if you describe it as, you know, dealing with psychological things or depression or whatever, but just all that Pisces energy, but opposed by Mars, that physicalness in Virgo. And by the way, her Mars is retrograde. So once again, like I said, she'd be a whole story in herself, but she has that Mercury in Pisces, being able to see something, feel something in another way, or maybe even see what she's doing long before she does it. So, you know, when Mercury is in Pisces, it's a dreamer. I mean, that's who, you know, that's what it is. Just being a dreamer, having your consciousness be someplace else, you know, not rooted in the material world. So that's another thing to think about, you know. Some people naturally kind of lean into that Pisces energy, but even if you don't, what you might find during this period, during the next couple of weeks, is that we tend to forget things. And not because we're forgetful, but just because we're not right there. We're not literally sitting in that chair. We're kind of, our mind is someplace else. So we could miss appointments or not show up for work or not show up for things, or just in general, oh, I forgot to eat, or I forgot to, you know, do that. And just because our minds, we're daydreaming, we're preoccupied, we may be spacey, we may be really giving into that intuitive, imaginative energy. And communication can be very non-linear and even non-verbal. Because once again, maybe we're thinking in pictures or images or sounds or music, etc. We're more sensitive and impressionable. And, you know, quite honestly, we may not be making common, you know, we may not have a lot of common sense. That just may be the way it is. And, you know, a couple of people, one person I thought of instantly, even though she does not have Mercury in Pisces, she's got it in Virgo. And that's Temple Grandin. Do you guys know who she is? She's the PhD that she is a woman with autism who actually became famous because of her work with animals and some of the things that she's done using her experiences in autism. She's an expert on autism as well. Although when I say expert, it's personal. You know, she has gained fame by writing books and sharing her stories and taking her autism and alternate ways of communicating into practical things. And, you know, just like look her up if you don't know Temple Grandin. That's Grandin. Because, and I've heard her actually speak, which is interesting because, I mean, her autism is considerable. But I've heard her speak in Colorado because, you know, that's where I had come from. And that's where she, I don't know if she's still living, but she was, and she would do some public speaking. And she's a university professor. I mean, she's amazing. But her Mercury's in Virgo. But the one thing I wanted to bring out to those of you who know some astrology too, the third house of the chart is all about communication. And she has Pisces intercepted in the third house of her chart. So she doesn't have Mercury in Pisces, but she's got Pisces just filling up that third house. And by the way, intercepted means that the third house actually has Aquarius on the house cusp. But then all of Pisces is in that third house, and then the first few degrees of Aries. Sometimes that happens. It happens, you know, in a number of people's charts, and it's called an interception. But see, all that Pisces is just sitting there, kind of not exactly hidden, because it doesn't hide real well, but it's intercepted. It's not the one you see right away. You look at that third house and you go, oh, she's Aquarius. No, there's all of that Pisces hiding there with the Aquarius and a little bit of Aries. So she's a person that, like I said, I thought about her instantly, even though she doesn't have Mercury sitting in Pisces. But that Mercury in Pisces is just, you know, an incredible energy. And I also, you know, and I guess we're not going to have a whole lot of time to talk about that full moon. But that's okay. You know, you guys know about full moons. You know that it's going to happen this weekend, and also that it's a time of revelation. So please, please enjoy it. But also, just, you know, I will leave you more with this Mercury and Pisces thing, because one of the best quotes, and I put this in the Power Peak this week, in Mark's Power Peak, it's by Ron Howard. And he says, your creativity has value. You're not wasting your time dreaming. What a Piscean thing to say. But also to remember that this is a time to let things just gestate, to let them be conceived, not necessarily to do the manifestation. So, you know, this isn't going to be a very long period. Just like dream it, you know, let your minds, you know, maybe even every day, give your, schedule some, you know, if you need to schedule it, but schedule some daydreaming. Allow that to happen. Okay, just let that go, you know, allow yourself to get into that. And certainly, if you're interested in psychic abilities and the development of that, of course, you could take some classes, and I highly recommend, like, especially Kelly Whetstone and Kat. They do some great classes on psychic development, as do a number of other people. So, you know, check that out. If I don't know if they're doing anything now on Went to Academy, but they're really, really good, both of them, and a number of people, at helping you develop that. But just pay attention to it, you know? Just pay attention to it. Do you feel like you're getting more psychic hits during this period? You know, is stuff just kind of coming to you? And, you know, just observe it. Once again, one of the greatest things we can do is just develop awareness. Just be observers, not judging, not figuring it all out, but just being observers and watching it. And then everything is going to come to us that we need. It's going to reveal itself. So guys, we better get off the air, because speaking of Kelly Whetstone, she's coming up next. And I know that Jay is anxious to make sure that her show starts on time. So everybody, thank you for joining me today, to all the listeners and everybody in the chat room. I want to thank Jay Varvel, our wonderful producer. And please stay tuned for Empowerment with Kelly Whetstone. Do yourself a favor. That's just such an incredible show, and it truly is empowering. This is CA signing out. You can find me on 12listen.com. And like I said, I'm going to try to get that new computer up and running, hopefully this afternoon. And, you know, I will be checking emails. I still have other ways to check emails, even if there's a little bit of an issue with the computer. So, you know, contact me and say, hey, I want a session, or, you know, I want to get together. Please let me know when you want to do that, because I try to accommodate as much as possible with people's schedules, because I can flex most of the time. So find me on 12listen.com, and you have been listening to Everyday Astrology on 12 Radio, where we are changing the way we listen to the world.